This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. After years of acting obscurity, Chaz Palminteri is doing good. He's nominated for an Academy Award for his role in Woody Allen's Bullets Over Broadway. Palminteri plays a small-time gangster forced to babysit his boss's actress girlfriend. She's a lousy actress, preparing for a part the director was strong-armed into giving her. Here's Palminteri in a scene where he's reluctantly rehearsing with her. She's played by Jennifer Tilly, who is, by the way, nominated for Best Supporting Actress, as is her co-star in Bullets, Diane Wiest.
Can't you see? You're living out the exact same pattern your mother lived out with your father.
I am? Pray tell.
In some way, you're trying to relive it, and in the process of reliving it, correct it. As if that were possible. Ha!
It don't say ha.
I don't say ha. I added that.
What do you mean you added that? Are you allowed to do that?
We're allowed to add things.
How could you just add something?
You're allowed to add things. It's called ad-libbing.
You can't do that.
I can do that. What do you know? You don't know nothing. Shut up and read.
I think the whole thing stinks,
I think you're a degenerate zombie. Shut up and read.
Shut up.
You shut up and read.
Just shut up.
You shut up.
You're lucky you're Nick's girl.
You're lucky you're an idiot.
Well, it turns out this gangster has a natural gift for writing. And there's a parallel in Palminteri's life. His acting career took off after he wrote a semi-autobiographical one-man show for himself. Inspired by the show's success, he adapted it into the film A Bronx Tale. Robert De Niro directed and co-starred with Palminteri in what turned out to be Palminteri's breakthrough role. Last fall, I talked with Palminteri about Bullets Over Broadway. I asked him if Woody Allen wrote the role for him or if he had to read for the part.
We were editing Bronx Tale at the time, Bob De Niro and myself, and then I got a call that Woody Allen wanted to meet me. So I went down to his studio. I walked in, and I said hi, and we talked for about 30 seconds. And then he said, "Would you mind reading a scene for me?" And I said, "No, not at all." I read a scene, and he said, "That was it. Thank you." So I left. And I got a call about 5 days later that he would like to see me again. I went in, I walked in, and he said, "How are you?" I said, "Fine." He said, "You know, would you really mind reading just one more scene for me?" And I said, "No, I have no problem with that at all, Woody." And I read another scene for him, and he said, "Thank you." And I walked out, and about an hour later, they called me, and they said, "I got the part."
What did you relate to in your role as Cheech, the gangster who turns out to have an incredible gift for writing?
Besides being an actor, I am a writer. So I really tuned in to Cheech. I really felt what he felt about, you know, standing his ground. I mean, that's very similar to what happened to me in A Bronx Tale, in fact. When I wrote Bronx Tale, the one-man show, and I performed it on stage, everyone loved it and all the studios wanted it, but they didn't want me in the role. They just wanted a star in the role. And so I just held my ground. The offers kept getting higher and higher, and I just still held my ground. Even when the offers reached seven figures, I still said no. Until finally, they made the movie with me, with the help of, obviously, Robert De Niro, who saw me on stage and said, "Hey, you would be great in the role. I'll play Lorenzo. I'll direct it. Let's make the movie."
Why did you hold out until you could star in it? Why didn't you just take the money and run?
Because this was my shot, and I was not going to let it go away. I mean, a lot of people said I was crazy, that it wasn't going to happen, that I was going to blow the whole deal, but I really believed in myself and knew that this movie was going to get made because it was just too good.
So you ended up getting the part and the money.
Yes, I did.
You did good.
That's correct.
A Bronx Tale, the movie which grew out of your one-man show, is pretty autobiographical. And it's about a boy who witnesses a murder and then refuses to talk with the police about it.
Right.
And the local mob head, in thanks to the kid for not talking to the police, takes him under his wing. And then the kid's father and the mobster kind of fight for control over the kid's mind. Did you witness a murder when you were young?
Yes, I did. I witnessed a murder when I was about 9. I sat on my stoop. Basically, just the way it happened in the movie, that's the way it happened. Except I didn't have to the cops didn't bring me down. I didn't have to witness anything. You know, I mean, I didn't have to, like, point anybody out of a lineup. That I just wrote for dramatic purposes.
For our listeners who may not have seen the movie, would you describe what you saw?
I was sitting on my stoop, and there was two cars parking. They were fighting for a parking space, and one guy got out with a baseball bat and broke the window of the guy in the back trying to sneak in the space, and the other guy got out with a gun and killed him.
No, the movie, the kid assumes, wow, what a fight over a parking spot.
Right, I thought it was over a parking space, but years later I found out it wasn't.
What was it about?
I never found out what it was about, but I knew it wasn't over a parking space. My father would never tell me.
So it was about some mob thing or another?
It was a street thing. God knows what it was about.
Now, did the mob guy who did the hit become your mentor, as in the movie?
No. There was basically what I did was the guy was a conglomeration of a lot of different characters that I knew, and some of myself. It was just this basic thing that I wanted to put the working man against the mafiosa and the boy in the middle.
So did you hang out with wise guys?
Yes, I did, yeah. Yeah, and back in those days in the neighborhood, everybody hung out together, Terry. It was a very unique thing. Bad guys and good guys all hung out on the corner. It was very different back then. And when one guy had to do something, he just walked away and did what he had to do. So we all kind of like melted into each other.
Was there anything you found seductive about that world?
Well, when you're very young, it's impressionable. You see the cars, the money, the women, the clothes. You know, you think that's what life's about. But as you get older, you realize what my father was telling me, that the working man was really the tough guy. It doesn't take much strength to pull the trigger. It, you know, takes a lot of strength to get up in the morning and work for a living.
So, you know, when you were, what, 9 when you saw the murder?
Yes.
Did it scare you? What impact did it have on you?
No, it didn't scare me. It just stayed in my... people always ask me that. It's the amazing thing was, I just... When the guy killed him, he just kind of turned and stared at me. And I stared at him, and our eyes met, and he was looking at me. And, I mean, it's so long ago, and I think he was looking at me with the eyes of, like, my God, I'm sorry this kid had to see this. And that's what it felt like to me when I go back and I remember it. And then the next thing I knew, my father grabbed me by my arm and dragged me upstairs.
What did your father say to you?
He just said, my father wouldn't talk about it. He said, forget it. And I said, but Daddy, it was a parking space. What? He said, forget it. He would not talk about it. I mean, he's the old school Sicilian, you know. When something like that was done in the neighborhood, you don't talk about it.
What do you think would have happened to you if you did talk about it?
I don't know. It wouldn't have been good. I mean, we probably would have had to pack up and move. I don't know.
Have you spoken to your father about that incident?
Yes.
As an adult?
Yes.
And what?
He says still the same thing. I said, Dad, now that it's over, years have gone by, and it's a movie, and everybody knows about it, what was it about? And he still gives me the same answer. You know, things, people, stakes. He speaks in non sequiturs. You know, he still never tells me. Will not say it.
Now, how do you think he knows?
He knows. I know he knows because I can look in his eyes and he smiles.
Chaz Palminteri recorded last November. He's nominated for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Bullets Over Broadway. He co-stars in the film The Perez Family, which opens this May. A movie he wrote called Faithful will be released this summer. This is Fresh Air.